and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. As we do each week, we come to you with a conversation that you can choose to join us if you'd like to. Our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-68. Let's try that again, 941-3689. If you are on the Neighbor Islands or someplace else listening to the live stream, that's the number to use. Now, you might remember that a few weeks ago we did a segment on The Conversation during the morning show with Gil Riviere, head of the North Shore Country. And we talked following the group's announcement that they were suing the city of Honolulu for accepting Turtle Bay Resort's supplemental environmental impact statement. Their beef was that it focused too much on what the resort wouldn't do and not actual consequences and efforts to mitigate them. And near the end of the conversation, I asked whether there could be another alternative to going to court. And not long after that, we got off the air and up popped an email from a listener. He said a win-win starting point for opposition groups and the landowner would be the proposed conservation easement, including much of the undeveloped lands. And that was a bright spot worthy of a longer conversation. This evening, we'll take a deeper look at that proposal, which is already part of the governor's supplemental budget released this week. Around the studio table tonight, Doug Cole, head of the North Shore Community Land Trust, and Blake Oshiro, deputy chief of staff for Governor Abercrombie and a member of the working group to broker the deal. And, of course, you're here, too, and you're welcome to join us at 941-3689 if you're on Oahu, or 877-941-3689. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
Thanks for being here. Well, let's see. Here we are almost at the end of the year, and it's nice to have a positive note to be ringing in the air, at least seemingly so at this point. It also means that we're a little closer to the start of the legislative session, and last time around, there was some interesting talk going on about what might happen with Turtle Bay and Senator He's bill and use of the word condemning and things that gave a lot of people a bit of pause. What a difference almost a year makes. It seems we've made some strides this year. As you were part of the working group, how do you view what's happened over the last year?
I think we've actually made some really significant movement in terms of trying to find a reasonable compromise in this. So one of the things that happened at the end of the legislature last year was they passed Senate Concurrent Resolution number 164, which established a working group. And so what we did was we had an informal process, and we also had our working group working in conjunction to try and see how we can find a path forward. One of the first things we needed to do was try and establish an appraisal and a process so that we could get some valuation and some starting point. But actually what was really, really helpful was the concept of a conservation easement. I think finding that alternative was something that gave us a path that we didn't look at before. And so we didn't necessarily have to use that scary word that you talked about, condemnation or eminent domain. And instead, we can actually look at whether there's a way where we can have a win-win solution for both sides.
As you've been negotiating back and forth and at least being able to sit down at this point and look at this as an alternative, has there been more of a community support for at least this facet of how Turtle Bay Resort's expansion might be managed?
I think the Turtle Bay expansion has just been a very contentious issue on the North Shore for that community. It's been a little divisive at times. And so what we're hoping is that we can find a solution that actually is something that both the developer as well as the community want. And I think we can achieve that balance. And so that's really what we're looking for through this idea of a conservation easement, is that the Turtle Bay would still retain the ownership rights to the land, but they wouldn't necessarily develop, especially in some of the more sensitive areas along the coastline. And so that's really the primary objective of what we're trying to achieve.
Because they were unwilling to sell outright. So that was off the table.
Yeah, well, and I think what we did was we learned from the prior experience of the prior administration where that didn't seem to be a very fruitful resolution. And so I think we're trying to find a different alternative to see if there's another way forward to get us to that ultimate resolution.
And many people remember that during the Lincoln administration, this was an ongoing topic about how it might be purchased outright. But with a conservation easement, that still allows some room for the landowner to do what it wants in expanding Turtle Bay.
Yeah, so currently the plan is conceptually divided into three phases. And so, Doug can probably talk about this a little bit more because he's the one that actually kind of came up with a lot of these ideas. But phase one and phase two would actually really be looking at the areas that are not really slated too much for development right now, and but is in many ways the most sensitive and the ones that have the most cultural significance and coastal need for preservation. And so that's what we're first looking at, is making sure that we can protect and conserve those. And then phase three, which is the area that is already with the hotels, which is the area that they want to develop, is something that we definitely have on our table, but we just don't have a clear path forward yet.
So let's talk about phase one and phase two, Doug. That part of the land that's been undeveloped that really has such meaning for so many people on the North Shore and anybody who goes there to enjoy it, and trying to keep that as pristine and preserved as possible, has been at the center of many arguments why Turtle Bay shouldn't be developed. This seems to be some way forward for you. How optimistic are you that at this point you might be able to at least take care of some of the argument against expansion in Turtle Bay by having this easement?
I'm extremely optimistic. You know, I think it's the past year has been really exciting to be participating in these discussions and moving in this direction. And to just step back a little bit, you know, I'd just like to highlight how special and how priceless I see this coastline as being. We're talking about over 5 miles of undeveloped coastline on Oahu, where we really don't have much of that left at all.
And this is your backyard, so you know this area very, very well.
I grew up probably just a few miles away and drove by it every day on my way to high school. I'm very familiar with it. What we're talking about right now is phase one and phase two. And so, to give some geographic references for that, it's Covella Bay and Covella Point on the western portion of the property, and then Kahuku Point and the undeveloped land surrounding the what some people know as the Palmer Golf Course. So it's the outer portions of the property. There's different conservation priorities, I think, here, but one of them is preserving this long stretch of undeveloped coastline so that people and plants and animals can enjoy it. You know, I think 4 out of the past 5 years, a monk seal has given birth on this coastline. That's truly unique in Hawaii, on Oahu, where 1 million of us live, that's taking place. Tons of sea turtles. Anytime I go there, you know, I see people fishing. I see people diving. You don't see a whole bunch of people, but you see those adventurous people who want a different experience. And so what we're trying to accomplish through conserving phase one and phase two is to preserve that experience for not just the people doing that today, but even more importantly for the next generation, for our kids and our kids' kids, you know, because the further we go into the future, the more scarce resources like this are going to become. So I think it's truly an opportunity of a lifetime. And because there's so much at stake, we see the landowner, the state, the community, key nonprofits at the table having this discussion, investing time and resources into it, sincerely investing time and resources into it. You know, so I've been in these meetings and I can see that everybody really believes that we can accomplish something, and everybody really is working together to do that. So to answer your question, I'm very optimistic.
When you talk about people around the table, one of the parties that seems to be missing from the table is Keep the North Shore Country.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to understand the distinctions between different organizations that are out there. So I work with North Shore Community Land Trust. We're a voluntary land conservation organization. So what that means is we work with willing landowners on a voluntary basis. And so typically when we do a transaction, you're going to have the landowner, the government, the community, other nonprofit partners all at the table trying to work towards a common agreement. And if we can't agree, then in this format of land conservation, we're not going to be able to do something. We're not going to be able to conserve it. You have other groups out there that take a more adversarial approach to influencing land use. So Keep the North Shore Country would fall into that category where they're actually filing a lawsuit against the landowner. So it's as adversarial as you could get. So to have them at the table in a discussion about voluntary conservation might, it might, I guess, disrupt the flow of that conversation, you know. And so we're really trying to build trust between the landowner, the state, the community. And so I think...
with a more conciliatory and willingness to work on at least on something that you can agree on.
Yeah.
Perhaps in principle, if not in price.
Yeah, you know, it's really what I like most about the work is that you're bringing together just very diverse partners who you might not always imagine are going to be on the same page working towards the same goal. And so if you look at the history of this property, 30 years, I think, most of my life, there's been discussion over what's going to happen here. Much of it heated, you know, I think Blake put it lightly earlier. And so to be having this discussion now, to be working with the landowner towards conserving a substantial amount of it, it's really exciting. And it's one of the things that I like most about this work is that really you're trying to find the common interests where we can align and we can accomplish something. And at the end of the day, with a transaction like this, everybody's at the celebration party because everybody was a part of it, you know. Nobody's a loser.
If you've just joined us tonight on Town Square, we're talking about the conservation easement for Turtle Bay. And if you are out on the North Shore and listening to us tonight, we want to hear from you too. 941-3689 is the number to use, 941-3689. And if you'd like to weigh in from the neighbor islands or anyplace else, if you're listening to the live stream, 877-941-3689 is the number to reach us. This is not over by any measure. I mean, this is going to be it'll be developing over time. But seeing that the governor obviously looks at this as being an important enough point to put this into the supplemental budget released this week, was definitely on the table as you were going through the project. You knew that that was coming and that at least there was a priority placed on this. So giving you a little confidence that this was something that was doable?
Yeah, I think that when we went through the working group and as I kept the governor apprised of what was going on with the negotiations and the various different valuations, which were still, there is a significant difference, but it is something that's not insurmountable.
No, there's so, what, about a $7 million difference?
Probably a little more than
more
that.
More than that?
But we're still working on it, and we remain hopeful.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, we can't disclose details like that at this point in time, I don't think, because it is a negotiation between the state and the landowner. And so
no, but appraisals, aren't there appraisals coming in at about a $7-8 million difference?
The appraisals are coming in at, you know, I think the report that the governor's office put out is accurate in saying that the difference is significant. But we all have our sleeves up. We're all at the table. We're still working on this. So we're all still optimistic that we can close the gap. And I think, you know, to step back and look at what we're trying to value, this isn't just a cookie cutter home and a subdivision. You know, I mean, this is a complicated appraisal process. So the appraisals, as I understand it, are not complete. There's still some things that need to be understood. And so.
But you do have that, you know, $40 million that's still sort of out there and somewhat tagged for this project. You don't have any more of that than now, but you do have $40 million that's sitting there.
Well, what we do have is the governor made a request to the legislature for $40 million in general obligation bonds. And so ultimately, we'll have to see where it goes through the legislative process. So there is that money there. We're also aware that there is some potential money in the city and county budget that can also be used. And so together, we feel that that amount is a very significant indicator of a commitment. And ultimately, that I think is what the landowner was looking for. They wanted to know that we are serious about this and we're not just trying to run them around in circles ultimately. And so I think these are important figures that we'll have to keep working at. And ultimately, I do remain optimistic that we may be able to reach some compromise valuation. And that is a number that ultimately will be the one that we'll be requesting from the legislature.
I mean, certainly they've known that the governor has been for real because this has been on the table for a while and in discussion. So there wasn't any real issue that this was something that was just happening to happen somewhat pro forma, but that really there was a deal to be had.
Yeah, I think that definitely the governor has always been committed. But I think the problem is, you can still have the commitment of the state, but if the money is not there, then ultimately that delays the entire process because you do need to go back to the legislature and get that money again. And the legislature only meets once a year between January and May. And so if you miss that window of opportunity, then you're going to have to wait until the next January when the legislature may change. And so ultimately, this was really a window that we saw was important to actually step through and take advantage of. And so the $40 million is hopefully going to stay there throughout the entire budget process. If we're able to successfully negotiate a valuation during the session, then we'll go back with them and tell them what that real number is, what the actual agreement is, and hopefully we'll be able to get that if it's more or less. And so I do remain optimistic as long as we keep slogging away like we've been doing the last few months, that we'll get there.
We've got callers on the line who would like to get involved with this conversation. If that's you too, well, you have an opportunity to do that. 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, use that number, 941-3689. And if you are listening to the live stream or you're on a neighbor island and want to participate, we want to hear from you too. 877-941-3689. Going to Len calling us from Makiki. Aloha, Len. Thanks for your patience.
I just tuned in. Is somebody from Replay sitting in with you folks today?
No, we don't have someone here.
Okay, it's Blake Oshiro and the other fellow.
And Doug Cole.
Okay. My comments are...
And by the way, we did invite them, and they declined.
I guess my comments are, is Replay amenable to a deal? Number one. I thought that they worked so hard to get their SEIS at this point, and the city council has approved it. The only thing that I think is holding it up is the LUC on the 236 acres on the Kahuku side. Other than that, they're ready to go. Is that correct?
Well, they certainly haven't stopped their plans. Doug, maybe you can fill in a little bit more.
I think... they've completed their supplemental environmental impact statement. The Department of Planning and Permitting accepted that. And then about a week ago, a community group did challenge that in court.
Yeah, they
and
say
so,
it's all shabai. But,
so there is...
I've seen it, and it looks like they're working really hard at it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think to answer your first question, because I think that's the most relevant here, is yes, they are amenable to this. You know, they've... as a result of the last legislative session, the CEO of Turtle Bay Resort did send a letter to the governor expressing their willingness to engage in good faith negotiations for conservation of the areas that are encompassed in phase one and phase two of our current conservation plan. And so they're at the table. We've met with them several times. And they're investing a lot of their time and resources in helping us explore this as an option. So I think they're very sincere about it. And so if we can come up with an agreement, I think it's very likely that something great will happen there.
My interest is that I grew up at Covella Bay as a child. And I'm a resort-type person. So I'm more inclined to say, hey, let's you know, I was there when Prudential took over from Campbell Estate. I see it this way. Development is can be done from La'ia all the way over. The problem I see from a Kamaaina standpoint is there should be a bypass road that goes from Ka'ahava to Waimea and even maybe over Waimea all the way to Haleiwa. That would take care of all the pilikia that they have along there. So So we can still enjoy the coastline, but it's still people can go heli on the highway. I would love to see Covella Bay developed one way or the other. You know, not overly developed, but, you know, done tastefully. As far as the Kahuku side, well, you know, maybe an extension to the wildlife park and coming this way would be nice.
Len.
So there are people like us that don't like all this stuff, you know.
Well, it's been going on for decades.
Well,
and,
wait,
and certainly for most of Doug's life and a lot of the time that you were there, too.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the call.
Okay, right
on. Going now to B, calling us from Kona. And if you'd like to be next, 941-3689, 941-3689. Or 877-941-3689. Aloha,
B. Aloha. Just calling just to say two things. Once again, thank you, folks. Much mahalo for everything you do. You've always got the greatest program. And then the only other thing is, when I was young, I remember the area being called Kuilima. And I think that's a beautiful name. I don't know what it means. I can sort of remember, you know, the name turning into like a Turtle Bay because the hotel or whatever. But I just think that the name Kuilima should also be, you know, on the table as far as any open area or, you know, whatever traditional names were in the area, I think are important too.
Yeah, I think... we definitely haven't forgotten the name Kuilima. Phase 2 in the conservation plan that we're discussing includes the majority of Kuilima Bay and Kahuku Point. So Kuilima Bay stretches from where the existing hotel is all the way to Kahuku Point.
And thanks very much, B, for the call. Now, we've heard from Kona, we've heard from Makiki. If you're out on the North Shore, we want to hear from you, too. 941-3689 is the number to call, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you're on a neighbor island, you are welcome to call and join the discussion, as always. Blake Oshiro, as you've been, you know, listening to a couple of these comments that we've heard so far, and the idea of managed development, do you see this as a viable alternative to really being able to have what Turtle Bay wants to have happen, be able to put on a couple more hotels, have maybe 600 and some odd more rooms combined, and have a little of what they need and compromise enough with the community to where there can be peace in the northern climes of Oahu?
Yeah, well, I mean, ultimately, that would be the ideal situation if we could arrive at peace. But I do think that these are such strongly held, passionate beliefs that ultimately I think the litigation over the challenge to the expansion and the supplemental environmental impact statement will have to bear its way through, I think.
Well, it has been doing that for what, you know, decades, three, four decades at least.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, you know, the Keep the North Shore Country organization has their entire right to challenge it. They're going through that process. That
Defend
is their
Oahu
right.
Coalition is involved with that too?
Yes. Yeah. And so they're going to continue to do that because they oppose the expansion. But, you know, I think at the same time, what we're trying to do is kind of separate out the other two phases and the Covella Bay side and the Kahuku side and try and say, let's see what we can do to preserve that first and foremost, because this is something that if we can achieve our goals, we'll preserve it in perpetuity. And so a conservation easement will make sure that we're not going to be facing the idea of development later on down the road. Should there be a different owner or should there be a change of hands? And as we've seen in the past couple of decades, the hotel has changed hands and there's been different visions as to what Kuilima or Turtle Bay or what Oak Tree wanted or what Replay wants now, which I will give them credit for scaling down the actual development of and expansion that they were looking at. I will give them credit for that, but I do think it's something that still has to go through the growing pains of what the community wants to see, and that has to kind of bear its way through unless we are able to kind of break through all of that and achieve some sort of resolution with the phase three sort of conservation easement. I think that one is still on the table. It's something we definitely want to discuss. It's just what we're trying to do is take a bite and achieve what we can now, because it's so important to preserve it now for the future. And this is not to preclude a later discussion of phase three and the land surrounding the current
hotel. It's just a point of entry so that you can have hopefully that later discussion. So while you give them props for what they've done in scaling back, there are issues that you still see, and certainly, Doug, that you still see. But for the moment, both of you would be very happy if you could at least have phase one and phase two.
Yeah.
Would that be fair to say?
I think it would mark substantial progress towards preserving a place that's been the subject of uncertainty and disagreement for decades. And to just build off of something that Blake mentioned, you know, there have been several different owners to this property in the last 30 years.
Well, in your lifetime.
In my lifetime, you know, one of the callers mentioned Prudential earlier. You know, that was one of the early owners. And so there's been a lot of different iterations of what's going to happen. There's actually concrete pillars near Covella Bay that are still there from one of the prior owners when they started to actually build out. And so I think to give credit to Replay, you know, there's been some really good things that have happened in the past 3 years since they've taken over the management of the property. It's much more open to the community to go there and experience it. Covella Bay is much more accessible now than it's ever been. There used to be no trespassing signs. Now there's signs that address liability issues but don't keep people out. And so what I think we're trying to do is work with a landowner that's done some good things to perpetually make that their legacy on this property, because in all likelihood, we will see different owners in the future. So,
well, we've got some callers who would like to get in on this conversation, and if that includes you, give us a call now. The phone lines are lighting up, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Gary calling us from Kailua. Aloha, Gary. Welcome to Town Square.
Well, thank you, Beth Ann. Thank you, everybody. I don't often call, but when I hear numbers thrown around, it gets my interest. I heard $40 million on behalf of our governor, putting towards this effort. But also in some previous reporting, not on your show, I heard that the governor still hasn't paid back the Hurricane Relief Fund. So, no, the Hurricane Relief Fund is something that satisfies or answers a concern for all of Oahu, and that still needs to be paid back. So I think maybe the governor's a little bit loose using his money or our money in a certain way. Anyway, I just wonder if the group thinks it's smart not to pay the Hurricane Relief Fund in order to buy this land for the people. Thank you.
Well, in the governor's supplemental budget, there's $50 million for the Hurricane Relief Fund.
Yeah, there is. And so last session, we put $50 million back in the Hurricane Relief Fund. And just to kind of clarify for Gary, I think, you know, the understanding needs to be that it was $50 million, and these are general funds, and that's pretty much cash. And so there's just term it as cash. And so the money was taken out of the fund to be borrowed during our times of recession, and we have a plan to pay it all back. And so the $50 million was paid last year. We're paying $50 million this year, and they actually even want to pay more than $50 million because we have the resources. The $40 million that is put in the supplemental budget right now are general obligation bonds, and that's not cash. And so what that is bond financing is something that is amortized over a lifetime duration of what is actually considered the infrastructure. And so it's usually amortized over the 20 to 30 year period. And so it's kind of more like a mortgage.
Right. It means you're not taking all the cash out and plunking it down all in one shot.
Correct. And so we do have to pay some interest on it, but the state has such a great interest rate in our bond sales at an actual historic low of, you know, I think it was 3% or 3.something%, that what we're actually doing is we're actually investing in a way, the same way that we would do something for schools. When we build a new school, we don't plunk down $110 million in cash. We do it in general obligation bonds because it's just a way for us to finance and get something in the ground now and we can actually invest and pay for it in the long term. And that's really what we're talking about, is $40 million of general obligation bond money.
All right. We're going to go off and take some more callers. More people want to join the conversation. That's a good thing. If that's you too, 941-3689, sooner rather than later, so we can get you through, or 877-941-3689. Going to Larry calling us from Pupukea. Aloha, Larry. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. First of all, I'd like to commend Doug and Blake for the fine work that they're doing, and I'd like to address a comment that the Kamaaina gentleman made earlier, who was in favor of resort development in that area.
I think that was Len from Makiki.
He referred to a possible bypass road. I think the listeners need to be aware that when the original Del Webb Kuilima development was approved, there was a four-lane highway plan. Today, we have a two-lane road that runs essentially from Haleiwa to Kahalu, and I just can't see that ever being widened. With the sea level rise the way it is, and all the property that would have to be condemned to accomplish that objective, it's just inconceivable. And that is really, I think, one of the primary, if not the primary, objection. That people have to expanding at Turtle Bay, and then when you put it in the context of Envision Laie and everything else that's being proposed, that highway just is way beyond capacity. It's already at capacity today many times.
All right. Well, I don't think you get any argument from Doug Cole or from a lot of people who live out there who just go out there to visit. But the traffic situation is quite likely going to get worse no matter what, isn't it? I mean, that's exactly what we've been hearing, including from Replay a while ago.
Well, that's kind of like the attitude, you have a raging fire and it's okay to add more fuel to it. I don't agree with that philosophy. If the traffic is bad, it just makes no sense at all to me to make it worse. What you want to try and do is minimize traffic.
I don't think anybody is trying to intentionally make it worse. I think their point was that it was just going to get worse by virtue of the fact that we have more people on the island. There will be more people living out there and more people coming to be there. And certainly to come and see a resort that's there now and potentially what would be there in future. Doug?
When the issue of traffic comes up, what I like to point out is traffic on the weekends on the North Shore is worse than it's ever been. And a lot of people look at that like a negative thing. Nobody wants to sit in traffic, and I'm no different than anybody else. I don't want to sit in traffic. But when I do sit in that traffic, I remind myself that this is a wonderful thing. This is people from all over Oahu coming out to the North Shore to enjoy the beach, to get out there, enjoy their natural environment. That's great. They're replenishing their souls so they can go back to work that week and be motivated and be a little bit less stressed. And that's really the traffic we see on the weekend. People from all over Oahu coming out. You know, resident traffic is constant 7 days a week. So what tips a scale on the weekend is people from all over. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think that's why we're at the table talking about conservation here. This is one of the reasons people come out there. It's a place with so many different beaches and ocean experiences that you can engage in, and to go back to this idea of investment, you know, that Blake talked about and that the caller talked about, we're talking about a lot of money. Nobody disputes that $40 million is a lot of money, but I think what a lot of us agree on is that we're talking about a priceless resource, and it's hard for me to imagine that 40, 50 years from now, we're going to look back and we're going to go, oh, wow, I can't believe we spent that much money on that. I mean, think about how much the dollar has changed in the past 40 years, real estate values. I mean,
right. And I don't think you get any yeah. argument about what will happen as we go forward and values will increase. And certainly you're talking about a value that's priceless when you're looking at a resource that can't be
it can't be duplicated.
And it can't be duplicated, and it's not going to be something that is going to go away. I mean, your point is to be able to preserve it.
Yeah, it's an investment in our future.
Right, but the fact about the traffic and the increase in people coming to it and what kind of impact that will have, that's somewhat of a separate issue, but it's quite related because you're still talking about that tiny little highway.
Yeah. So I think to touch on what Larry, the caller, Larry mentioned, you know, I mean, infrastructure are road traffic infrastructure in particular are very expensive. You know, I don't know what the DOT budget is every year, but I imagine it's pretty high. And so part of what we're looking at doing is investing in reducing future stress on those infrastructure. So hopefully it mitigates the need to put in more intersections, more new bridges, widen roads, God forbid, condemn other property, you know, to widen a highway. I mean, nobody wants to see that happen. There's a lot of people who live along Kamehameha Highway. And if we got to the point where we had to widen that highway, we'd be...
It would mean their yards.
Yeah, you know, and that would be very unfortunate and very costly. So,
all right. Blake, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I agree with what Doug said.
All right, then we're going to move on to more callers who are waiting to talk to both of you. Going now to Gay, calling us from Ka'ava.
Aloha.
Hi, Gay.
Hi. my great-grandparents leased the property at Covella Bay in the late 1800s, and generations of our family have spent their time there, and it's a very special place. So I appreciate the fact that you folks are trying to preserve it. But something that I've noticed since the teardown of all our houses is that the place is getting overfished, and nobody is monitoring what's going on over there. Like one day I went, because I go almost every week to go swimming there, but I don't hardly go anymore because the water, there was a bunch of turtles before when I was growing up, just tons and tons of turtles. Now you don't see hardly any turtles. And I saw a boat in there with nets, fishing, catching lobsters, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, I don't know whether this could be placed in a historical place as a historical place or what, but it is a real special place, but it does need to be, you know, monitored and protected.
Okay, let's see what Doug has to say about that. Stay with us, Gay, for a second.
Yeah, you know, I think that's part of the goals for this conservation project here is to preserve, not just preserve how it is now, but to enhance it, you know, to bring it back to a more sustainable Ahupua'a model. The group that we engaged in helping us come up with a conservation plan for this property, we had a young adult who had recently graduated from Kamehameha Schools and had grown up on the North Shore who helped us come up with a vision. And I probably won't say it perfectly, but I think it was the traditional Ahupua'a from Covella to Kahuku are perpetually conserved for future generations, or a living connection to the traditional Ahupua'a from Covella to Kahuku are perpetually conserved for future generations.
However, I might want to contact some of the kupuna who know about these kinds of things, because you can only learn so much in school. And another thing I wanted to mention was about the traffic. You know, alongside from all the way from Kualoa, all the way out to around where Haula starts, that's all, you know, I know it's, you folks are aware, it's one way, both ways. However, there's no road on the other side of where the houses are, on the beach side, on the Makai side of the road. So when you say, hopefully we'll be able to avoid that, there's no way, hopefully, if you have to take land from the people that live there, you're going to have to take land because you can't go on the other side. So I think you need to consider, you know, how the country people feel. Like, when I sit in traffic up there, I don't say thank you. I'm pissed because every person in the world is stopping to see the turtle. You know, if there's a surf meet out there, you're going to be stuck in traffic for 2 hours. And this is not mainland people visiting. This is local people. So I think these are things you really need to consider.
All right, Gay, we're having a little bit of a problem hearing you now. But we're going to say thanks very much for the call. And, you know, you hear her angst about the traffic and that it's not something that she's happy about when she's stuck in it or when somebody darts out in front of her to cross over the road because there's no place else to cross or a car stops because it's waiting for a parking spot and people are taking their time as they're pulling out. All of those things that happen when you're on a, you know, two-lane highway like that.
Yeah, I share the frustrations of sitting in the traffic, and I definitely don't like sitting in it. And so that's just my way of trying to
cope with
work
it
through that
positively.
Frustration is to go, hey, you know, people are going to the beach. They are enjoying it. And so
all right.
I don't mean to beat you up on that one,
but just wanting to have her know that you do acknowledge her frustration and feel
yourself, I'm right there
too.
With you.
Okay, all right. Going to Mark calling us from Wahiawa. Aloha, Mark. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for allowing us this. I've lived in Wahiawa all my life, and I think Wahiawa is kind of the gateway between Mililani and the country. And I've noticed that for the local people like myself, Kahuku and Turtle Bay, that area was a relief. It was still country. My only worry is that once you get a developer in there, just like, look at Mililani, it doesn't stop.
Once hang on a second. You already have a developer in there.
I mean, to expand the development.
Well, that's its plan, and that has always been the plan over all of these years. It's just a matter of what that development looked like. At this point, trying to preserve Phase 1 and Phase 2, how do you feel about just that part?
Well, at least someone's doing something. I got to give them credit. I think that's wonderful that at least something's being preserved over there. I mean, of the group there, what is, for a local person, do you think it's affordable to at least stay at Turtle Bay for a night? It's out of the question. So, really, I'm hoping that this goes through because someone's got to look out for us.
Okay, but that's a whole other different topic about the affordability of a room at Turtle Bay as opposed to trying to preserve what natural resources are there.
Right, but it also shows that, you know, any development that's expanded out there is not going to be for the local people.
Yeah, so, digress a little bit, I have one of my favorite T-shirts. I have no idea where I got it. It says, Wahiawa Town, Gateway to the Country. And if I could find where they sell these shirts, I'd want to get another one. Because I agree with you. You know, it really is the gateway to the country. And when you drive through Wahiawa and you hit the fields, the ag fields, you know you're there. And you have this kind of butterfly moment for a lot of us. And then Cavella Bay, Kahuku Point, you know, I think they are country refuges that a lot of us go to. And so what we're trying to do is preserve that, Mark, so that we can continue to do that. And the conservation easement would also include access to the shoreline, access to coastal trails for, different recreational activities. And so we are trying to make it available for the community, the public, to still enjoy this place.
Yeah, and just to get to what Mark was really talking about, I think, especially coming from Wahiawa, is, you know, as you drive out there, especially being somebody from urban Honolulu side like I am, when you're driving past Wahiawa, and like Doug said, when you drive into the ag fields and then you driving to the North Shore, there's just a peace and tranquility that really sets in.
There's sort of an audible sigh that happens when you come over. Yeah.
There is, and I think that is what the governor really believes is something that needs to be protected. And so that's why he's put in such an effort on Turtle Bay. But the other thing that is in our supplemental budget is we're trying to find a way to preserve the Dole lands as agriculture and keep them in agriculture in perpetuity so that we don't have to worry about that fear Mark was talking about with development and like it turning into a Mililani or anything like that. I mean, nothing against Mililani, but I'm just saying, you know, keeping it as open space, keeping it as agriculture so that you do get that peace. Once you leave Wahiawa and you're in getting out of that town, that small town, and you head into the fields, you know you're headed into actual country.
And avoiding that urban or suburban sprawl.
Yeah, so it's actually part of a larger plan. So the governor's budget has some pieces in it to try and acquire the Dole lands so that we can continue that peace, and then ultimately as you get out to the North Shore to actually find the tranquility.
Yeah, and you know, I think just to expand on that a little bit too, you know, the Dole lands, it's the tranquility, I guess, and the peace that the country provides us all with that's valuable. But then, you know, we did this process a few years ago of a green print identifying conservation values. The two that really stood out as high priorities are coastal lands and agricultural lands. So the coastal lands and the recreational experiences they provide in the agricultural lands, not just because of they're beautiful, but they can feed us, and we're importing 90% of our food. And so they're absolutely essential to food security.
Right, and that's a whole other argument about really what percentage would be reasonable to expect that would we be able to use to feed ourselves. And we can have that another time. Yeah. Right now, we're going to go back to talking about phase one and phase two of the conservation easement for Turtle Bay. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone lines are open at 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Randy calling us from Kahala. Aloha, Randy, and thank you for your patience.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. So I think you guys have really touched on the point as far as the magic and almost the romanticism of driving up Cam Highway, you know, to North Shore. My family has lived on the Aina there for over 300 years in Ka'ava, and I remember driving up there as a small girl. And I look forward to sharing those moments, you know, with my children in the future. And I think that if we develop this land, not only, you know, you guys have talked about the traffic, but it'll just take away from so much of the old Hawaiian culture that's left on this island. All of our south shores, west shores are developed, and there's plenty of places and opportunity for people to work. For people to visit, and, you know, the industry is there. I just think that we need to preserve this land for generations to come and be
Randy,
proud of it.
I don't think you get any argument from anybody around this table. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Going now to Cab calling us from Haleiwa. Well, there we go. Someone from the North Shore. Aloha. Welcome to Town Square.
Mahalo.
Hi there.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can, yes. Welcome to Town Square.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to, you know, agree with the last caller that it's definitely important to preserve what we have. And a lot of visitors and a lot of people come to the North Shore because it is the way that it is. So we're actually investing in a very valuable resource.
Okay, so you like this idea, but as you say, people are going to come and want to see it and want to experience it, and you're totally okay with that too?
Well, it depends on how you do it, and there's lots of different ways that you can, you know, work with improving the traffic situation and also improving the infrastructure. But
okay, so you tell me what you think the traffic fix might be.
Traffic? Okay, so my idea, and I definitely see a lot of visitors from beautiful places around the world, such as the Netherlands and other places in Europe, and also where people ride bicycles. So, you know, biking in Hawaii or bike lanes throughout the islands might be a good idea because our climate is a lot better than places in Europe.
But we've been talking about having bike paths and having a viable bike system for, boy, since the late 90s at least.
Right. Well, it's just a possibility or something that's possible to do to actually, you know, take some of the pressure off of the traffic.
And maybe shared bikes. Who knows? Thanks
very
much.
Exactly. That's becoming one of the newest, hippest things in most urban places and cities. And they're not as warm and beautiful as Hawaii. So in terms of, you know, certain things that you can do to you know, help solve these traffic issues, and also you'd be attracting those, you know, visitors and people that really enjoy the outdoors. So you don't, it's not going to cost a lot less to invest in that type of infrastructure that will preserve the environment and also create a habitat for, you know, edible plants and other types of things.
Cav, thanks for the call. Say hi to Haleiwa for me. 941-3689 is our number if you'd like to join the conversation, or 877-941-3689. We're talking about the conservation easement for Phase 1 and Phase 2 of the Turtle Bay area to be able to preserve that land and maybe get a little bit more of a conciliated tone going with your community, Doug Cole. This is your home, after all. The rest of us can talk about it and conjecture about it, but it's the place where you were born, raised, and live. And when you hear some of these other conversations about how people view what's going on in your home, do you feel as if they truly understand what it is to live and work in the North Shore?
I mean, you probably couldn't understand what it is to live and work on the North Shore unless you did it. But I think what brings us all together is that regardless of whether we live and work there, we live in Honolulu and we visit there, we live in another part of the world and we come and stay in Waikiki and we visit the North Shore during that stay, we all agree this place is amazing. And so we share that. And so our appreciation for the country and for places like Kavela and Kahuku and its natural beauty, I think that's the glue that holds us together as a community. And so when I think of the North Shore community, I think of a very broad community that knows no boundaries in some ways. You know, I mean,
but your community is and has been for, as we've talked about ad nauseum, been coming unglued over the North Shore and potential expansion there, and neighbors pitted against neighbors, whether someone likes the idea of expansion or is becoming more adversarial against or the expansion or wants to see this deal succeed. How do you bring them a little closer together by letting them feel that sense of wonder and awe of where they are without feeling that they have to take a stance that's, you know, so diametrically opposed to, say, the land developer or any other group, where it's not possible for them to be able to see that common ground as much?
Well, I think going back to what we said earlier, you know, the reason I'm optimistic is that we're at the table with all of those people. We're at the table with the landowner who, you know, 2 years ago, this wasn't even part of the discussion. And so even the landowner sees value in having this discussion. And so far, you know, in talking to people about this, I really get all positive feedback.
And you've gotten farther with this landowner than you have with others.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to work with them. I'm really confident we're going to reach an agreement at some point. And I think people are very supportive of what we're doing. So I don't see divisiveness around the conservation effort that's taking place right now.
All right, we're going to talk some more with our callers, see what they have to say. Going to Bob, calling us from Turtle Bay. Hi
right.
there, Bob.
I live in the Turtle Bay condos. I've lived here for 30 years. And so, of course, I'm in favor of preserving the land. But I don't see how this present proposal is a benefit to the public. The hotel keeps use of the land around Kavela Bay, which where they have horse rides and such. And at the northern point where they have their golf course developed, I mean, there's a golf course green right at that northern point. And the public gets no more access. There's no parks envisioned in this. There's no additional right-of-ways for the public. So what does the public gain other than the hotel saying they're not going to build houses on that area?
Okay, so I think it's a great question. And so right now we do have a landowner who's made the property much more accessible to the community, but there's absolutely nothing standing in the way of them blocking off those trails that went along the shoreline and blocking off the access at Kavela Bay. And so while we are enjoying being able to access it now, what the public benefit of this conservation easement would be perpetually being able to experience that. And then the other thing that that we haven't really touched on is, you know, for me, one of the best ways to appreciate the North Shore and beautiful places like that is from out in the ocean. Whether you're surfing, paddling, sailing, when you look in at a shoreline like this, it's very special. And so for a lot of us, that's what we're preserving, is that view plane. And there, for many of us, there's a huge benefit to that. And also the fact that a monk seal is giving birth on that shoreline, it's choosing a shoreline where there isn't any extensive development and lights and noise and heavy traffic, you know. And so I think there's public benefit to preserving habitat like that. So from where I sit, I think there's tremendous public benefit.
Going now to Dave calling us from Lihue. Aloha, Dave.
Hey. Hey, how's it? You guys are really sharing some really great information. I get over to Oahu about once a year, and it's it is amazing once you hit Waiava. You kind of feel that old. There's almost a North Shore vibe that almost some ways feels more preserved than what's been happening here on Kauai. So I hope that these conservation district areas, you know, really get implemented, and you guys are able to move forward and be a model for what needs to happen in the other islands as well. But my question is, maybe you guys can answer, what I don't understand is when people do take on developments, just like you were mentioning, there's already a long-term plan for development up there. When they build, like, the plumbing system, they have to plan how much water needs when everybody's taking a shower and everybody flushes the toilet one time. But how come those guys and the regulating bodies don't have to figure out how much traffic there's going to be able to flow if you're going to build that much level of, you know, additional subdivisions and other houses and other bodies and other people?
All right, Dave, I'm going to stop you right there because we're running out of time and I want to get you some semblance of an answer before we have to say goodbye. As you're hearing, Blake, the traffic that keeps coming back. I mean, the two issues we hear about the traffic, and yes, we like the idea of preserving this land, but the traffic is still going to be hellish. How do you answer?
You know, I would tell people that what they need to do is really take a deep look at the supplemental EIS. It is supposed to address all of these impacts, such as traffic, and, you know, really take a look at whether the challenge that is going on in court is something that is legitimate and whether it's something that they actually want to support or if it's something that they think should be rejected. Because I think that is ultimately what they need to do is have that voice, because even though you have an SEIS and it'll evaluate various options, ultimately at the end of the day for any of the further approvals to go through the land use process, that's where the voice of the public actually has some say. And so they can chime in and say, it's not enough and you need to impose more restrictions or more conditions or make sure there's protections of this or that. And so that is what people need to do. They need to actually make sure their voices are heard and make sure that the decision makers are being held accountable with the conditions.
We're coming down to the last couple of minutes. Very briefly from each of you, pretend we're talking to each other and it's May. Do we have a deal?
I think we'll have a deal. The scope of it will be uncertain, but I do have some confidence that we'll achieve something.
Yes, I think we will. Yes.
That's
I'm going to work very hard. I mean, I think with something like this, just to, you know, we have to believe that we can. And I think if we all believe and we work together, then we will. And so I'm optimistic.
And on that note, it seems a good place for us to stop. Thank you very much, Doug Cole, head of the North Shore Community. That's the important word, Community Land Trust. Thank you for being here. And to Blake O'Shea, the Deputy Chief of Staff for Governor Abercrombie. And to you, too, for all the calls and questions about this. And to tell you that next week on Town Square, there won't be one because we will be preempted for some holiday programming. So enjoy the special All Songs Considered. That'll be lots of good fun. And we will be back with you on January 2nd. Meanwhile, I will see you tomorrow morning right here at 8 o'clock for The Conversation. Have yourself a good evening. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Aloha.